I want to thank you, each and every member here at Lakeland Hills, for giving me the opportunity. This is my fourth trip to Kenya. As I was working for Hillsborough County, my brother-in-law would go periodically and tell me the stories of going to Kenya and the work that he did. His father lived in Kenya for about 3 years in the mid-90s and started some of the work there and then continued to go back year after year. We have preachers like Dan Cheney, Paul Ayers, who also went and shared in the work, David Norfleet, Matt Turner, my brother-in-law, and also Darren Brackett, who recently been on with us for the last couple trips. And so I do appreciate all the members here encouraging me to continue there to spread the word and to be with those people there in Kenya. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38. And then he said to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers unto his harvest." We know not just in Kenya, but we know here in Lakeland, we know here in Florida and Georgia, and everywhere we go, where we've been, where we lived before, there is plenty of work to do. And before we get too far, we want to say in Swahili, Jambo or Habari. Welcome. Thank you. Greetings. How are you? And these are the ladies from the Manyangi Valley. Their profession, picking coffee and tea. They work Monday through Friday, very hard days, some 12 to 16 hour days. And then they meet together in this room, and we'll have a chance to show you. But they wanted to send and blessings and extended greetings to those here at Lakeland Hills. As we took our journey, I traveled up to Georgia to be with Steph's family, and then from there we went with Matt and Darren Brackett, who also worships with Matt at Alpharetta, Georgia, and David Norfleet, who was preaching there but has moved to Louisville, where he's now an evangelist and also a elder at their congregation. We left from Atlanta Airport to travel to Paris, France, a mere 8.5 hours on a plane. And then had a short layover, about 2 to 3 hours, and then boarded another plane to take that short jaunt, 8.5 hours, to Nairobi, Kenya. Here's one of our breaks where we had a chance to relax a little bit, think about the next leg of our trip, Matt Turner and David Norfleet, and then Darren Brackett looking very seriously, looking at his computer. Some of the pictures as we leave Atlanta at night, and then as we approach Paris, and again, this is from the plane picture, in sunrise. So it's interesting, the time changes, so we leave at dark, and we arrive to see the sunrise. Of course, then your body's still saying, it shouldn't rise yet, you should still be sleeping, yes. So we travel from Atlanta, Georgia, all the way to Paris, France. And then our next leg from Paris, France to Nairobi, Kenya. Now, Nairobi, Kenya, where is Kenya? Well, if you look here on the map, it's green. It's off on the coastland. Its coast is part of the Indian Ocean. It's surrounded by Somalia, Ethiopia, Uganda, and Tanzania. Some of those countries aren't really hospitable to Christians, but within Kenya, that's a great area. So Kenya is about 224,960 square miles, a population just slightly under 50 million. They were a British colony, so most of the young people speak English, but they still are mostly tribal, so they also speak their tribes. In Nyeri, that area, the largest tribe is those that speak Swahili. So a lot of the people that we go to, where we go out to the country, speak Swahili. I've been to other places where that wasn't the case. They had another language, Lua, which also means another interpreter. Christianity within Kenya is about 85% of the population, which is great. Everybody's going somewhere on a Sunday morning to worship services, but of course denominations kind of are the rule, and so it's hard sometimes to get people to understand the Bible when they've learned things that were incorrect. While we got into Nairobi, we picked up a friend. My first trip, I met Kola Ajibola. He was there working with the congregation there in Kimwathi. He was working on his PhD from the college in Nairobi, and on weekends he would travel out to Nyeri and be with those people and building them up. And so on this trip, he was able to also join us for the time we were together and to assist in that work and preaching and teaching the gospel to the people near that area. But turn with me now to Psalms 143, verse 10. Psalms 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. We all have that charge. To teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. We need to take that everywhere we go, not just to Kenya, not just abroad, but here also in Lakeland, because God gave us the Bible. He gave us his Bible for an opportunity of salvation. And this gives the power to save. Only if those who are willing to listen, as we talked about in Colossians 3:16, that have it dwell in us richly to fill us up, to overflowing, to allow us to make changes within our own time period, in our own lives. Well, once we arrived in Nairobi, it was still late, very late at their time frame. Remember, they're 8 hours different than we are. While I was there, we changed our times, and now it was 9 hours. So again, my body thinks I should be awake when it should be sleeping, and sleeping when it should be awake. And their roads are not like our roads. A normal distance of travel that should take about 2 hours, for their travel distance takes about 4 hours. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We know this passage well. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." And we find that, you know, since the congregations had only started in the mid-90s, and we even have newer Christians, only just a few years old and babes in Christ, they need that whole gospel. They need that foundation. They have a lot of misinterpretations. They have a lot of exposure to denominational worlds. And so they have a lot of things that they're trying to work out with their own salvation. While we were there, our home place, while we stayed in Neary, was at a country club. Now, it was a nice place, but they have no air conditioning. Their natural ventilation is open the windows. But the first night when my windows were open and I came back, I had a swarm of insects, probably just a few thousand, in my room, in my bed, in my sheets, in my shower. There is no screening. So I learned a lesson that they said, oh yeah, these bugs come after the rains. This was supposed to be their short rains or their not light rainy season, but we were there pretty much and it rained every single day. So we call this home. This is where we can go back and regroup and sleep the night. And we were lucky enough. The temperatures were pretty mild like we have as far as being nominally 50s and 60s at night. And it'll warm up to the mid-80s. Some people call that hot. I'm from Florida. That wasn't hot. And the humidity was very low at the time. Even with the rains, it wasn't quite what we were. Now, the brethren in Munyangi don't have a Wednesday night Bible study. They have a Friday night Bible study. They come together after their long week, and they were at the home of James's mother. James is one of those that we support, and same with Isaac, and you'll see him off to the right here. James waving at us. And this was after the study, which they normally furnish Kenyan tea for us. And if you look here in the foreground, this is our refreshments, slices of bread. And so we were all together participating in that. And when we look at where the map is, we look at, okay, there's Kenya. We see Nairobi down here as the capital. And in the center is Mount Kenya, and that's where we'll be, near Neary and the base of Mount Kenya. And we were in the Munyangi Valley. And so we'll get a little bit closer to the Munyangi Valley and see that. Now, we think of valleys, we think of hills, and yes, they have pretty steep hills. Remember, Mount Kenya was about 17,000 feet in the air. So we're pretty, I live at sea level. their elevation is already higher than I'm used to, so I have to drink lots and lots of water so I don't get an altitude sickness. So I know most of you haven't met them since they live in Kenya and probably won't come and visit us, but we see Isaac here on this side, my left, and James on my right, and those are our two brethren that we support in the Menyangi Valley. Also between the two of them, they also travel to a congregation called Matanya, which is quite a notable journey for them. So we also help them that they may spread the gospel to areas that they don't have someone to preach. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And as we're building them up, I think about these things. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As Paul is asking this question, even as is it written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. While we're there, the brethren are very hospitable, open to open their homes to us, eager to listen and hungry for the word. As we're doing our Bible study, it's interactive. And remember, most of their homes don't have electricity. Most of their homes have one or two lights, and that's about it. So most of our study is done during the daylight hours because it's very hard to see a Bible. Luckily, we bring things like tablets so we can see those things. But yes, it gets harder and harder to read by candlelight or very small amounts of light. We see Maurice here is also a young man that we support, and his work is primarily in Kinwathi, and we'll see and meet him too a little bit later. Darren Bracken, as he's giving his study to the brethren there, and we'll talk about some of the topics that we had to deal with while we're there during that week of study, trying to better understand the Bible and get a better feel for the things that they're dealing with. We see brethren that we've been there before and passed on. This young lady here in the foreground, her dad was a very strong member of the church. A couple years ago, he passed away. She's struggling, and she needs support. And we've been trying to help her as she goes through that. We see Morris here in the foreground, Morris Mwangi, who was initial person that Alan Turner had met and helped build up and had started things. And so he has a lot of these relationships that allow us to go to these different areas in the country and the countryside. In Kibwathi, which is just outside of Neary where Morris lives, they don't do a Wednesday study, and they don't do a Friday study. They do a Saturday study. So we went Saturday morning to the home of Morris and Eunice, and they graciously opened their home for us that we could start some of the topics they were asking for. One of the topics they asked me to put together was restoring an erring Christian, and that was one of the topics I was able to bring on that day. This is Morris and Eunice. They have wonderful children. They have about five children, two adult children that are moved away and are working, and then three younger children that are still going to school. And in between the time that I came home and about 2 weeks ago, they were baptized, all three of their younger children. But their younger children range from 14 to 12. Some of the other issues we were talking about, like I said, they were allowed me to bring forth issues on how to restore an erring brother. We were asked on how to assist in teaching an erring brother. Also, once he does repent and turn back, how can we restore him? How can he be brought back into fellowship with us? And sometimes some of the people, you know, God forgets when we repent, but we as people sometimes forget that. And there were some ongoing issues. Well, I remember what you did to me 10 years ago. And so we need to, as Christians, with someone who's changed and actually is truly repentant, how we need to accept them and restore them. And some, just like here, were unwilling to repent and correct their path. As we've seen in the past, one of the members, and I'll point him out, George, when we did a Bible study about 5 years ago, his brother was baptized and then went back to denominationalism and has not returned. And one of the passages I want to read, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Paul writes to Timothy, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and God will give the increase. So as we were doing our Saturday study was outside. We didn't have yet a tent, but luckily the rains held off, so we were able to sit outside and study in chairs. We see David Norfleet here, and Cole Ajibola, Morris, and David Brackett, and some of the other brethren from the Kiwathi area. Now I want to read a couple passages from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, 19, and 23. And this is on instruction. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And then 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. I'm still looking for latter days. Hopefully I still have younger days, but I'm looking at latter days, I guess, now. 23, verse 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Now, as we get together with brethren, as we speak and are talking to them, some of the older people don't speak English at all. They only speak Swahili. So when we do a lesson, we have to have interpreters. As I said, George, whose brother was baptized and then returned back to denominationalism, George, who's been a very strong worker, he's a construction worker there in that area of Kiwathi, but he's been very instrumental in also helping to interpret. And if you've ever been people who needed some kind of interpretation, I know Kyoko with, you know, people who don't speak English but only Japanese, sometimes it's hard to translate exactly English into Swahili or Swahili into English. Sometimes I'll be talking and I'll say a phrase or a short group of words, and I think they'll be done. And they're still talking. Yes, so there's a cadence. And then sometimes I have a little bit longer phrase, so it seems like I'm waiting. Oh, he's done already. So there's that cadence to make sure that we don't lose something in translation, that the study keeps moving forward. And that's one of the things we're learning while we're doing this. Now, we've had a number of topics. While we asked, hey, what topics can we cover while we do this study, while we're going to be here every single day, and most of our studies were lasting anywhere from 2.5 to 4 hours. We had a couple nights where we had an afternoon class, and then later we came back and did an evening class as well. But they asked about the prophecies of Daniel, primarily the prophecies of the kingdoms. And they were very interested in not necessarily the kingdoms of gold and of the other lion heads, but on the kingdom of Christ and the clay feet. And why don't we have prophets today? Apparently that's a big deal within Kenya, just like here, evangelicals that are preaching and teaching that the gifts of the Spirit were still prominent and still out today. And so why don't we see the gifts of this Holy Spirit? Why don't we see people speaking in tongues? Why don't we have the prophets of today like they did in the old time? And it seems this is also common, not just here, but also in Kenya, is what about tithing? You know, that tithing was an Old Testament principle, and we gave them some new principle guidelines to help them with that. But each of these studies were interactive and comprehensive, so some of these took us maybe a couple hours to get through. The kingdom as revealed by John in his revelation, the throne room scenes in chapters 4 and 5, the judgment and final death, physical death, spiritual death, and the second death. As you can tell, that was more lengthy study between the four of us collectively coming together, Matt, David, Darren, and Cole Ajibola and myself. Matt also has businesses over there, so sometimes he wasn't with us, so it was the four of us versus the five of us and the second death, but all coming together in like-minding and trying to teach. And I know when I have taught before with Chuck, we kind of will look at a topic and we may have and go at it a different angle, but we come to about the same conclusion because we're Bible students. One of the things they wanted to know was, when is Christ coming again? The second coming. And that seems to be a big topic here in the United States as well of denominations. When is Christ coming? And when will he affect his change? When will he affect his church? When will he take us all back to heaven? How patient will he be with us here in the United States? And how well will he be patient with us all over the world? And just as it seems, expanding roles of women in different groups, even in the church here in the United States, we see different places expanding roles of the women in church. But that was some of the things there. They see out in the countryside a lot of times, they may have faithful women, but not a lot of faithful men. And so how does the women's role change when there isn't enough men to be part of that? And we assured them that this is what God's plan is. And they were like, well, what if we're women and we're teaching unbelieving men? Can I still teach them? Can I still pray with them? Can I still lead in prayers? And so that was some of the things that was harder to make understanding. And then what was the difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like the speaking in tongues, the gift of prophecy, and explain the purpose and why miracles were done to that day? Well, that was some of the topics they were given to us. We were given this opportunity to then, you know, chew on those and then come up with lesson plans basically for the rest of the week so that we can continue our studies Monday through Saturday. But Sunday comes, and we worship at, Gaikenja and Mwangi. Now, Kimwathi is where they used to preach or worship at, and then they've got a building that was just a little bit further away from there, and now they have a little bit larger space for them to worship. And Mwangi was where we were in the valley. So all five of us went to both services, and then after the Lord's Supper, Matt and I left and went out to the Mwangi Valley and to preach out there because they started a little bit later. But you can see they have a building. Again, they have a little bit of lighting, mostly air lighting or sunlight, with plastic chairs in arrangement where they come together. Before this, they have a small study with the kids, and Maurice has been very instrumental with doing those kids' Bible studies. And while I was there, I was able to give them some of Angela's material, which was very helpful to them because they didn't really have a lot of material. And they were working on the life of Christ, so I was able to, since I had some of that, able to pass that along. So as we travel from Gaikenja and to the Mwangi Valley, this is some of the scenery we see. Sorry, I'm just going to get some water. I'm keeping it. Should have brought my own, but I'm keeping this. And we see some of those beautiful area in the valley. We see the valleys and the hills. And if you don't realize, those valleys and hills, that's where they're growing tea and coffee, on those hillsides and in rows. And that's where they work. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is the building where the Mwangi Church worships on Sundays. No electricity, no lighting other than ambient light. The benches, and usually on Sunday, the benches are filled with people that are hungry to hear the word and hungry to hear what we have to say. Matt and I there were to preach. Matt had a lesson, and I also had a lesson. As Matt got up and was preaching, Isaac, who we support, was his interpreter. He was also my interpreter. Turn with me now to Proverbs 9, verse 9.
I'm doing to you what you do to me.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah, I probably had some sitting next to Stefan, but that's all right. Proverbs 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, it's customary to have two names in Kenya. They have their Swahili or tribal name, but they also take a Christian name. Now, James, that I came to know, he and his wife became pregnant just a couple years ago, and when they were having a baby, they said, well, if it was a boy, they were going to name it Bob. They had a girl. They named it Stephanie. And here she is. And I'll have some more pictures where she's there while we do Bible study and worship, sitting there listening to us. And yes, she's growing up healthy. And it's interesting in Kenya, even though it's not really, you know, we think of cold, all the children have like winter clothing on. Just like us in Florida, you know, 60 degrees and that's cold. 60 degrees, they're bundling up like it's snow. My relatives in Caribou, Maine would laugh at me. Well, every morning we get together, from each of us having our own apartments and starting to formulate a plan as to what we're going to tackle, what studies we're going to tackle, what portion each of us would tackle. And so we see Darren Brackett, Cola Ajibola, and David Norfleet as we sit out on the veranda and the patio and enjoy our Kenyan breakfast. And you'll notice they don't know what bacon is, so that's bacon. It's not bacon, it's ham. So our first study, we're contemplating the topics. As you can see, this was a picture from a couple years ago, but here's David Norfleet contemplating our study. We went to Kimwathi, where Darren Brackett had been doing a study with the Alpharetta Church of Christ on the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three separate entities, as we see in Scripture, just like we would see when Jesus was baptized, when he came out of the water, we have three separate entities. The Father saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit lighting on his shoulder like a dove. And, of course, the Son as he emerged from the water. And he did a very good job with the study. He also has a website where he has a lot of his material. So it's very good to hear that study as we were moving forward. As you can see, I was diligently taking notes. And Darren was giving the study. With next to him was George, who was interpreting for him. And now with the rains coming, we were able to have a tent where we can continue our studies with, regardless if it was raining or not. But we would be outside. And we would be there anywhere from 2.5 to 4 hours at a time. It's talking on topics, studying, open God's word, strengthening and building each other up as we would continue seeing the topics that needed being addressed to help them with their progression as their walk of Christian life. Now, I have a lot of pictures of, you know, everybody else, and now every now and again, I get one from Morris or someone else to show me that I was there, I was teaching, I was leading a talk. It appears I'm very emotional or moving my hands. And also, the kids were very tentative listening, those who were taking notes as to our topic. And as you see, sometimes our classes grew pretty large as far as the amount of people we had as we were studying. So these are days gone by using the topics we had talked about. See, I have a different color shirt on, so it was a different day. We're continuing our study. I believe David Norfleet was leading a study on that particular afternoon or morning. Usually we would break about 1:30 to 2:30 for lunch. And when we did, we would go into Morris's house, and he had a little veranda where we would all come together and kind of relax a little bit, you know, unwind, talk about the events of the day, kind of formulate a plan, what was our next study, where were we traveling next. And they were gracious to feed us of many different delicacies there in Kenya. We had a lot of mutton. We would have seasoned beef in what they call sabowas. When we first got there, we bought tilapia, so they would also deep fry some fish for us, and I know Joe would enjoy that. And some of the big drinks there, they have Fanta sodas. Well, here in the United States, we have it sugared with, high fructose corn syrup. They don't have that. It's all regular, natural sugars in their sodas. And so we have a chance to relax and say unwind and get our mind together and move on to the next thing. Well, in between classes, we would go and travel around Neary. Now, we were at Matt's building where he has his office, and while we were talking, I looked out the window, and I saw this rainbow. So I was able to take this rainbow picture right after the rainstorm came. But here's some of the highlights and streets and byways of Kenya near Neary, some of their construction. You don't quite get a full picture of that. When we think of things like scaffolding, we think of steel structure. That's not scaffolding to them. Scaffolding is wooden poles, like lashed together. There is no OSHA. We see the outside of buildings, to me, looks like they're not really finished, but people are living in them. The furniture, hand done. But it's interesting, when someone makes a particular style of bedding or a bed or a dresser, everybody makes the same one. So you'll see three or four rows of people who are cobblers that are building these beds, and they're all the same. Same style, same wood, same staining, everything. And you see the wood piles, their lumber yards, their buildings or offices to where they could get refreshments or food are all open air pretty much. Most of the cooking isn't done on electricity. It's done on gas or propane. So they're either grilling things or deep frying things. As we go through the towns, from town to town, you'll see people set up their carts or these little shacks where they're selling fruit. And again, it's interesting to me because in one town, they're selling corn. Every person has corn for rows. The next town, someone's selling potatoes, and it's all potatoes. And I was, you know, me thinking, why didn't they share with each other, you know, but that's Kenya. And we see the Sofa Land Emporium, yes. We see on the street signs all kinds of animals. We see the donkey carts. We see goats. We see cows. We see sheep all along there. And as Stefan fears, she wouldn't want to go to the hospital here. It's the Karen Hospital. Their medical for Kenya is a lot different than what we're used to. Some of the open-air markets in the city actually are kind of, you know, one store is only just shoes. Some of them are something else. They're all dresses or they're all this. Some are just kids' shoes. Some are just ladies' shoes. But it's a building just filled of shoes. And most of them are knockoffs. Their transportation, how they get around, is either a matatu or a bodaboda. Either option is very scary. So they're matatus, and if you can see here, they're telling you where they're going, Nanyuki, or they're going to Thika, or they're going somewhere else, is like a passenger van. Now, in the United States, every person who sits on a bench has to have a seatbelt. That is not the case in Kenya. They don't leave until that thing is packed, and I mean packed. If they could put 15 people in a normal passenger van, they would put 25 because the driver gets that much more. And that's how they roll. And a lot of times they also have it packed up on the side. And that's a matatu. And then this is what they call a boda boda. A boda boda is nothing more than a dirt bike. And if you look, he has something very interesting on the back of this boda boda. It's a couch. Now, I've seen boda bodas traveling down the roadways, and some of them have a bundle on the back that I'd be impressed to put in the back of my pickup truck. I've also seen as many as 5 people on a boda boda. But that's how people in the countryside, in the country areas, get into the cities. They don't have the matatus because the matatus are on the big roads. The boda bodas will come out to the countryside. And so sometimes they have to go from the country into the city to get supplies and things. And so that was very interesting. I've seen many, many of these boda bodas in my time that how did they balance that? That's quite a feat in physics, yes. So we do our Bible study, and we're preaching in the Minyangi Valley again. So let's turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Here we have another picture. This is James, again, the gentleman that we support. Some of the children in the area, they're very interested in seeing them. Some of the children in the countryside have never seen people outside their country. So when people are from outside their country, they're very interested. They want to shake your hand. They want to come up and talk to you. As we do our Bible study, Isaac is leading our study, and he's also our lead interpreter as we bring lessons and classes to them on the topics that they've asked for and some of the topics that we had prepared for them as well. We see young Stephanie as she's eagerly listening and attentive in class. We see some of the elder women and men that are also listening attentively as to the class. And it's nothing for them to be there a couple hours sitting on benches listening to studies. I know for me, it's that hard wood sitting there. You know, I'm an American. I'm not used to that, but they are. James and Isaac, also the brethren, after a study with them on the outside of their building. So their building was in that little corner, and this was the outside where we would go to. And their facilities was an outhouse. I went to Boy Scouts. I understand what an outhouse is. I know how it functions and where it's a little bit located further away. So we're just not privileged in this area to have running water or electricity. So you're kind of at the mercy of nature. Well, we're coming to the end of our trip. We're coming to one of our last sessions there with our brethren. The brethren from the Minyangi Valley are traveling into Gyanja so we can all worship together for one last time, and all of us have opportunity to talk and preach and send greetings to each other. Let's turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, Jesus, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And this was right before they were saying, blessed be your mother who birthed you. Excuse me. And he says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And blessed are us as we hear the word and preached in season and out of season and keep that. Some of those that we want to introduce, this is Alan. He is Morris's second son, and he's been very helpful in making sure that we had arrangements. He would also interpret for us in times past. He's also working with Matt's company and doing very well as a young man. And Maurice, who has a number of infirmities with his hands that he can't really work so much, but he is working and striving to be a good Bible student and teach the young students, but also leading the congregation in services and prayers. As we get together, they have these chairs out, And since the Miyagi Valley was coming together, it started getting quite packed. We had, at one point, standing room only. And they're willing to be there. And I have some videos of them singing some of the hymns that maybe we're familiar with, not familiar with, in Swahili. And the singing was just phenomenal. But I didn't have time to add in all those videos. And as we each said introductions and salutations and had a short lesson for the brethren there, you can see how attentive they were to each one as they were continuing our study. As we finish and close, we said our greetings, saying goodbyes. This is Morris's children, Anita, Paul, and Alan, another Alan. And they were the ones that were baptized a week after we left. And we'll see Darren and Matt in the background, and me talking to Maurice and telling him, we'd be happy to send you more material. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Truly they have a work that's noble. Truly they have a work that is harder than we think about. Truly they have obstacles that we won't have to face. But they do that with a smile on their face. They continue to worship in spirit and the truth, and continue to strive to help those that are interested in learning, and to those that are interested in following Scripture. We see outlying areas that are not easily accessible, like Matania, Bucarini, and James and Isaac are doing a great job bringing lessons to them, helping them as much as they can to grow in spirit and in truth. We also... Are we led by the Spirit? Are we also doing what we can? Are we also looking that this is the end of 2023? We have a new year coming around the corner. What encouragement do we have? Are we going to continue to strive for the truth? As we leave Mount Kenya area, we see the majestic Mount Kenya. Now, this was an older picture because during this trip, we never did get to see the top of Mount Kenya. It was covered up in clouds the whole time we were there. But this is what it looks like. This is some of the area around us. So we see Mount Kenya National Park. They have parks and safari areas. We're here down in the southern end in Nyeri. But even in Nyeri, we can see Mount Kenya on a clear day. And we see that mountain. And it has snow on it year-round, just like the Rockies do. And some of the Rockies are only 15,000. This is 17,000 feet in the air. And this is one of the pictures I took when we were at Sweetwaters, which is the plain. Because when we hear the gospel needs to be spread, are we that ready voice like Isaiah was told? In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." And Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." As we look at that, will we have more given to us? Will we take these opportunities? Will we take the opportunity of 2024 to again reach out to those around about us to help extend this gift of the Scripture, to spread the good news to those around about who would hear it, who are interested in hearing it? We know that the people of Kenya were interested in hearing it. That's why we keep going back. That's why we keep trying to strengthen them, trying to build them up so they can also fight what they're fighting around them. Denominationalism, the world, just like we are today. Just because I went to Kenya doesn't mean we can't spread it here. Are we any less open to hearing the gospel spread? Let us strive to do more each and every time we come together. Let's strive to do more each and every single day. Let us be the people that God would want us to be. Striving to work and reach more people. My report here in Kenya is done. And in Kenyan Swahili, we say, Asante sana, sana, asante sana. Thank you very much. And for their greeting, they greet with their hands. They greet with their shakes. The men and women want to shake three times. You grab your forearm. That shows signs of respect when you shake hands. And they certainly are open to what we have to spread and give them the gospel. We appreciate this opportunity I've had to share a little bit about my trip, to share a little bit about the people in Kenya, some of the issues they're dealing with. And again, we thank you here at Lakeland Hills giving me the opportunity to go over. Talking to Matt, talking to David, in 2024, I don't think we're going to go in November. I think we're going to try and go in August. So we're making plans again to go, maybe stay a little bit longer. We'll see. We'll see how the plans go. Sometimes we've had some open opportunities to go to some of the colleges. At this time, it didn't happen. But I think next time with Mass Company, he's had some inroads into some of the colleges where the young people are, where we won't need interpreters, will we be able to speak to young people who are interested in hearing subjects as a Christian. Well, as customary, after every sermon, we give the invitation. For those who have not been baptized, we have the waters here. You can be part of Christ's family. You can put on Christ through the waters of baptism, be covered in him, and have that strength and shield as you walk each and every day. And I know as Christians here at Lakeland Hills, is there something you need strength on? If you need support, if you need the prayers, not for something you may have done, but just for asking for prayers and strength, the things you're dealing with, we can handle that too. Come now. As we stand and as we sing.